scriptures back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 16 through 21 this morning. The title of it is A Trustworthy Testimony, A Trustworthy Testimony. And so I want us to as we turn there, that we and we find our place in 2 Peter chapter 1, 16, let's stand to our feet as we reverence the reading of God's Word. 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21 says, "For we did not follow cunning, devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but the Holy Spirit of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. I thank You that we can sense Your presence here today. Thank You, God, as we worship You. Speak to us through Your word for Your glory. In Christ's name we ask it, and all God's people said, you may be seated. You remember last time, thank you, Lee, for covering me last week. I'm a little better shape. I'm going to try to calm down, but you know better than that, so we'll just deal with it after the fact. How's that? But listen, before last week, we talked about 2 Peter and how he was leaving that legacy and how Peter was challenging these churches that false teachers were going to arise, and he's getting ready to leave. He's going to die, and he knew that, and that false teachers would arise. The next chapter, he'll talk all about the false teachers, and one of the heresies that they were spreading was about that the second coming of the Lord. The second coming of the Lord. Do you know there's many people that don't even think about the Lord coming back, and He could come back at any time. There's many people say, oh, that's been a wives' tale for 2,020 years. That's just something that people make up to cope with life and all these things. And those things are very prevalent in our day-to-day. This during Peter's time also. And he's saying, listen, I've taught you those first couple verses there. I taught you about salvation and the wonder of salvation. I've taught you about growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are to mature and as we go along in our walk. And he gets to this point, and he said, now I'm going to tell you why I'm so passionate about this. I'm dying. He said, yes, I'm going to leave here. Shortly, his life would be taken from him. But he said, I want you to understand that there's some things that you can count on. All the false teachers in the world can't disprove. And that's where we're at, where Peter's reminding them not to forget where Jesus had brought them from. And not to forget that it's not about, listen, it's not about personalities. It's not about preachers and how their personalities and how they can this do this or do that. It's about the Word of God. And we're going to see that. He makes much of the Word. And that's how we should be. We should make much of the Word also. And so I want you to think about this trustworthy testimony. And I want you to look at two truths in his trustworthy testimony this morning. First, it's a statement of fact. A statement of facts, verses 16 through 18, and it says this, "For we did not follow cunning devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain." Peter's saying, man, this is a statement of fact. How was it? He was an eyewitness. He was an eyewitness. And so I want you to think about the testimony, the tremendous testimony of an eyewitness. Our court systems, that's the reason why I had a lady being sworn in. Our court systems are set up. How tremendous is that testimony when somebody can come in, they lay their hand on the Bible, and what do they say? Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. At the bailiff swears you off, and you say, yes, you do. Yes, that's how it works. And so this eyewitness gets up and they testify about what they saw, the situation. It's a tremendous fact. It helps jury come to know the verdict by what people say and the testimonies it had. And so Peter's saying, listen, this eyewitness testimony is tremendous, not only in courts, but also in our understanding of God's promises. He said, I was that guy. I was that eyewitness guy. It's a tremendous testimony that he's given and he's showing here, that this testimony of fact, a statement of fact. And he said, we have a firsthand knowledge. Peter said, we have a firsthand knowledge of this, what we're teaching you. Why? We lived it. We lived it. One of the big 12 of apostles. One of the ones Peter was one that God had called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Jesus called him out for being a fisherman. And so that word "for" there is linking that back to the other passages that where Peter is reminding his hearers of the truth. These truths that I'm giving you are coming from a fact that I lived out. That's tremendous, is it not? It's tremendous for them. And he's saying, you know what he said? He's absolutely convinced of the truth because he lived it. He saw it. He experienced the living Lord. And he's reminding his hearers of that. I like what he says. He's speaking for the other apostles as well. And he's saying, you know, we didn't follow what? Cunning, devised fables. What's Peter saying? This is not a fairy tale. Listen, guys, this is not Hollywood. This is not make-believe. This is not things that are made up so that we can cope with life. Peter said, we're not following devised schemes or fables. In fact, we know that Peter in Acts chapter 4 and 20, and this is after the Holy Spirit has come. Peter, Acts 4:20, when he says, and he's saying this, you know what? The blind man, or not the blind man, but the lame man has been healed. And so they've got a lot of trouble for that. This lame man from birth had laid there, and Peter and they come by, and he just said, hey, I give you the Lord Jesus Christ, what I got to give you. And he's healed, he's leaping around, and the place is tore up. You can imagine somebody has been lame from birth, and guess what? Sanhedrin, the religious people, get kind of out of whack. Why? Because they're there. They're using that platform to preach Jesus. And why this man was healed. And you know what? The Sanhedrin calls Peter and John in there. And he said, hey, listen. You can't do this. You can't teach in this name. You can't do this anymore. And you know what he said? Peter said, how can we not? We've seen it. We said it. And then he makes this statement. For we cannot but speak the things which we have what? Seen and heard. Peter says, I can't quit talking about it. Why? I saw him. I lived it. He's talking about the resurrection. Think about that, which is a tremendous testimony, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter was a part of that. He saw the risen Lord. And the Lord charging him, go ye therefore. Go out, Peter. What did he say? Feed my sheep. Peter's feeding the sheep. Peter's eyewitness testimony of this. And when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter said, I'm not talking about this fairy tale. We know that he resurrected. And listen, he's coming again. Hear that this morning, church. He's coming again. And Peter's letting them know, this is not a fable. This is not a fairy tale. One day the eastern sky is going to part. The trumpet's going to sound. And a dead in Christ is going to rise, and the Lord Jesus is going to return to this earth. And Peter says, this is not something I'm making up. This is not a fairy tale. This is the truth. This is the truth. And so he's you know what? He's saying, this ain't hocus pocus, okay? This is not something mystical. This is the truth of God. Listen, we should be careful. We live in a world now that makes a living off of the newness. Very careful that it's the new book that explains the Scripture better. You better be careful about the man that stands on TV and says, just send me $100 and God will give you $1,000. You better be careful the man says, hey, you send me $100 and get this anointed cloth and you go home and you pray over your loved ones. You'd be surprised at how many people send that money in. If it doesn't line up with this, come on. If it doesn't line up with this, why in the world are we listening to it? Because guess what? It is hocus pocus. And there's plenty of people who take advantage of you. Why? Because we know the truth, then the truth can be influenced in our life. The non-truth can become a great influence in our life. And we like, you know what we like to do? We like to follow the ways of man. Next best thing. Oh, we want to get on the bandwagon, don't we? Be very careful. Peter's telling them, say, listen, we're not making it up. All we need and all the only thing that you need is right here in front of you, right here. God's Word and the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in front of you. Now, I'm not telling you not to use great helps. There's all kinds of books and things that you can have. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about those that don't line up with God's Word, that come off and run plumb off the other side. And you should know that when it happens, by the way. There's great commentaries, great helps. Use things to help learn God's Word. I'm not saying that. I'm saying these people that come up to try to teach you a different truth that is right here. And you live in that world. I don't have to give you any examples, do I? Most of you know what they are, don't they? They're the agendas of the day. Christianity now, the flag, Christian flag that's flew over all kinds of different things and different lifestyles and say, that's a Jesus. If it doesn't line up with this Word, hear me closely. It is not of God and not of Christ. That's as simple as I can put it this morning. That's what Peter's telling them. That's what he's teaching them. And he says about the coming of the Lord Jesus. So their confusion was about the second coming of the Lord. And he said the second coming in the glory and dominion. Apparently the false teacher was trying to undermine that. But you know what Peter says? But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And I'm like, Peter? This is a good, I'm just being facetious. Peter, when did you see his second coming? When did you see his majesty? Oh, we know he saw the resurrected Lord, but Peter's talking about it something different. He's talking about in Luke 9, 27 through 36, where he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, listen, the Mount of Transfiguration is when Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, and it says in the Scripture there in Luke 9, that they go up on a high mountain to pray. And guess what? The disciples are sleepy. Boy, it sounds just like good, don't it? Disciples are sleepy. In fact, their eyes are heavy again. Seems like every time Jesus needs a good prayer partners and he picks his inner circle, they're having a hard time keeping staying awake. Anybody see that? Seems like that's just an ongoing thing. Well, I'm telling you what, you have trouble sleeping at night, just start praying. The devil will put you to sleep, all right? Just start praying. They're up there on that mountain. They're heavy with sleep. They're trying to pray. Can you imagine they're over like, Lord, and all of a sudden, there's this radiance, this brilliance. And they open their eyes, and there's Jesus in his heavenly glory. Not the Son of Man, the suffering servant, but the Son of God. There on that mountain with them. And it doesn't stop there. Can you imagine one of them moments we talked about in Sunday school this morning? There's Jesus in his glorified state. And all of a sudden, it didn't stop there. There's a couple other guys there with him. Who's that? Moses and Elijah. Man, the big two. I'm talking about, listen, here's my question. This is my little simple thinking. How did Peter, James, and John know that it was Moses and Elijah? You know, they've never seen them. I'm talking about heaven is touching earth here, and there's this awareness that I can't even comprehend, but this is the state that they're in right here. They recognize Moses and Elijah. You know what Moses and Elijah are talking to that glorified Lord about? About his death that's coming soon in Jerusalem. That he's getting ready to give his life for us and for them. And man, this moment just lasts for a little bit, and all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah's getting ready to leave, and Peter's got to say something. You just got to say something. Oh, Lordy, Peter says, it's so good for us to be here. Let me build some tabernacles. Let me pitch a tent for three of you, for Moses and Elijah and for you. Wrong answer, Peter, as usual, because all of a sudden it says a cloud envelops them, this cloud of God. And this voice comes out of the cloud. You know what it says? This is my beloved Son. Hear him. In other words, you're getting your focus off again, Peter. So easy to do. Hear him. And then all of a sudden, there's just Jesus and everything's back to normal. And he's coming. They're coming down off the mountain. And Matthew tells us this. You know what Jesus turns over and tells them? Don't tell anybody until I'm resurrected. Now, can you imagine? Come on. Can you imagine? You've just seen Jesus in his heavenly glory. You've just seen Moses and Elijah. And Jesus said, you can't say nothing. I mean, like, you don't want to tell somebody so bad. I mean, this is that mean normal experience like that. It's just like sharing about them kids coming to salvation. You want to share those great things that God does. And Jesus said, don't you share it till I'm resurrected. But we see that Peter, man, in his verse here, he's been busting to tell somebody, hasn't he? And he said, man, we experienced it. You want to know about how I know he's coming back in glory? I saw his glory on that heavenly mountain. I saw him transfigured. I saw heaven touch earth. It's going to happen, and that's what he's talking about here. What a story. But it was there to remind Peter was there to remind his brethren. And he's saying, listen, it's not a myth. It's reality. It's true. Look at verse 18, the verb we saw, or verse 18 says, we heard, we saw. Look, Peter's saying, we experienced it with our own eyes. Not only was Peter an eyewitness of his resurrection, but also that transfiguration on the mountain. Two of the most profound happenings in all mankind. And Peter said, I lived it. And he's preaching and he's teaching them from that Bible, from this scripture, from that way. He said, I saw him receive glory from God the Father. Verse 18 said, and we heard this voice which came from the heaven when we were there with him on what? The holy mountain. Peter's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. You know what Peter's saying? You can have this certainty because I was an eyewitness. That's what Peter's saying. You can have this certainty, but also, please don't miss this. Oh, it gets good. The certainty of the word. Look what he says in verse 19 and 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in the darkness until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Peter says there's no reason for this audience, for his audience, then or now, to believe in false teaching that denies the second coming of the Lord, because Peter said, I was on that mount, but you have something even better than that. What? You have the Word of God that testifies to it. I really believe it's one of them, as I was reading this, this study, it's almost this profoundness of understanding that Peter understood that God was moving him along, and the very words that he's writing are the inspired Word of God, and he's a part of that. And he said, so you want something better than my eyewitness? It's the testimony of God and His Word. And that's what he's telling them. And he's confirming, listen, all these things that have happened in the past. He's going back to the prophets and all this prophecy that was fulfilled in Christ, by the way. The Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament in Christ. And Peter said, listen, you want to understand what truth is? Open your word. Don't just rely on my eyewitness. Don't just trust on me, but trust on the Word of God. And that's what he's telling them. Jesus fulfilled it all. He fulfills the entire Old Testament. Peter saying, we heard his voice, and it was wrote down under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and you have all that you need. You know how we know about that Mount of Transfiguration? Because we can turn to Luke chapter 9 there and read all about it. Don't just believe what your pastor says or what a man says. And Peter said, not even what I say as an apostle, but believe what the Word of God says. You know what he's saying? We don't need any more voices. We don't need any more infillings. We don't need all this second act of grace or special revelation. Stick to your Bible! Do I need to say that again? It felt pretty good. It didn't even hurt. Stick to your Bible! Man, how many times do we have to read it? That's what he's saying. He said, stick to your Bible. Why? We're susceptible to follow all kinds of whims, all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of men. We're susceptible to that. He said, the way that you don't do that is you understand the truth. You become a student of God's Word. The answer then and the answer now is here in the pages of Scripture. Return to the certainty. Return to the authority. Return to the sufficiency of Scripture. Well, I don't know about this, Pastor Dave. You know, it's about election time, ain't it? Let me say one thing, and I don't use this platform as a place for politics, but I do tell you this, as your pastor, you vote biblically. You vote by what the Scripture says, and whoever lines up with it, don't care what's out beside their name. You vote biblically. You see, it's not liberal or conservative. It's biblical and unbiblical, period. And when you start doing that, you won't have no problem. I don't know where I stand on this. What does God's Word say? It's not our opinion. It's not what feels good. It's what thus says the Word of God. Boy, that's all I got to say about that. That's all I got to say about that. It's the truth. You don't need your ears tickled. You don't need stories. You don't need fables. You don't need myths. All you need is thus says the Word of God. Now, I think it's a sin, Paige Patterson, to make the Bible boring. But you don't need fables and myths. You need the truth. And the truth shall what? Set you free. Amen. Amen. No longer do we need to waver over where we stand. Or here's the deal. Did you come prepared to listen this morning? Did you? Did you come prepared to listen to God's Word, or are we half asleep or just going through the motions because that's what we do? You got to come prepared to listen and hear what God says. Not what a man says, but what is God saying through His Word. And He's telling us to be prepared, be ready, know your Word, because the day is against this Word. Do you understand that? They want to question authority. They want to question the certainty. They want to question the sufficiency of God's Word. And your kids are fighting that battle, or will one day. And you better teach them. You know what Peter's saying? I'm about to die. Don't forget the Bible. It's about pretty simple, ain't it? Don't forget the Bible. How is your interest? Look in verse 19. Which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning stars rises in your heart. You know what he's saying? Let the light come on. Turn the light on. If you're having a hard time or scratching your head, understanding, listen, an agenda, understanding maybe certain ways where you stand on something, let the light come on. Turn God's Word on. Let it be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Let it show you the way. It lightens the dark. It brings light to a dark world. It is what our world needs today. It's groping around in darkness. Lights want to shine. They don't want to go to the light because it says men loves darkness. That's what he said. Peter's reminding them, you combat false teaching by knowing the teaching, true teaching of God's Word. It's a lamp shining in the darkness. I like that analogy. One day the Lord will return and the morning star will rise. Christ will return in all His glory, and the transformed believers will be transformed into perfect reflections of Himself in all His glory. Think about that. When He returns, the understanding of the sufficiency of Scripture will change your life. No longer will you question. No longer will you vacillate on different questions of where you stand on things. It'll change your life. By the way, we don't need anything else. You know, Peter spoke, but God spoke on the mountain to me. You know what he's saying? God spoke on the mountain to me. Listen, Peter said that. We saw it. This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased with. You know what? He said, He can speak to you every day through your Word. Woo! Think about that. You want to hear from, he's like, well, if I could just hear from God, it'd be very easy. Just open up His Word. You can hear from Him all you want. He just wrote it to you as a love letter. Peter said, He spoke to me on the mountain audibly. He speaks to you every day through His Word. That's what He's saying. He's boiling it down to that. Are we listening? That's the question. Are we listening? Are we looking for something else? He said it's His Word. As your pastor, my task is to make sure you are anchored to the Word of God and grounded in the work of Christ. That's my place as your pastor. No other divine light to direct you to be more like Christ than His Word. In fact, when Jesus, in His high priestly prayer, John 17, He's getting ready to leave this old world. And He's praying for His disciples. And you know, this is one of His greatest lines and all that. Sanctify, Father, sanctify them by Your truth. Thy word is truth. You want truth? It don't get any louder than that. Thy word is truth. That's Jesus. Not Pastor Dave. John 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is true. You say again, it's not about personalities or abilities. By the way, the Lord used a donkey. I'm going to be real nice and say donkey on Sunday morning. To speak his word. Did he not? Balaam's donkey? It's not about who's given the message or the abilities or those gifts. It is about the word of God and the promises that are grounded in that word. Under all, we're all under this scripture. And by the way, we're not worshiping. We don't worship the scripture. We worship the God who wrote the scripture. But we hold it in high standard because we know it's his word. Why would we not listen to it? If we truly worship God, listen, to truly worship God, you have to listen and obey his word. Can I get amen? You have to listen and obey his word. No more can we say that what he has said, it's all about Christ. Deepen our faith in the word of the Lord and the Lord. Then to come and play, and we'll have our applications. Number one, how important is his word to you? I'm not here to make you feel bad or beat you over the head, but if we understand that, how important is it to you? This is how you litmus test that. You say, oh, it's important to me, then are we reading it? Are we spending time in it? Is this the only word fix that we get? All week, it's Sunday. Not very important, is it? If this is what I eat off of it, one meal a week, man, I'd be awful skinny, wouldn't I? I think you can vote all of them and tell I don't eat one meal a week, right? Look. Does that look like one meal a week to you? I'd be skin and bones if that's all I ate, would it not? Spiritually? Seriously. Spiritually, how important is it to you? Number two, do you rest in his promises? Do you rest in his promises? Your life, it plays that out. You're either a ball of mess, anxiousness and everything all the time, or we rest. It doesn't mean that we won't struggle with anxiety and all these things, but we rest in his promises. We come back to not our feelings, but what does God's word tell us? Number three, how will you apply Peter's challenge? Let's all stand on our feet. Will we be men and women of the Word? Or does our audience dictate where we stand? You ever notice that? That you get with a certain audience and you're out in the world and you don't want to be different and they start discussing these different things and you just kind of waver with them. You know why? You want to fit in more than you do stand on the Word of God. It takes real men and women to stand on the Word. It's not an easy thing, but it's the only thing that will change our world. Shut your eyes before the Lord. Does everybody know this morning that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Just like them two young girls that God brought that, showed them to the Holy Spirit Friday night. They needed Jesus. What about you? Do you have him? Do you know that you know that Christ is your Lord? If not, boy, I'd like to take that same scripture and show you what God's word says. All those that call upon the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. But what about you? Are you a person of the word? Do you study his word? Do you open it? Is it really important to your life? Because if it's important, you spend time in it. What's God saying to you? The altar is open. You're not going to tarry long, but what's he saying to you? Be obedient, please. at the cross where I what? First saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Wow. That's a great song. It's on the end. Listen, tonight, 6 o'clock, women will be having their study. The men will too. We'll be back in Matthew and look forward. Come on out. It's a great time of studying and learning. The Kingdom Kids, things are going on here, man. Come on back. And thank you guys for being here. We love you. Lee closes in prayer, please.